Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Majeur, and we're calling this the Conway Special mini-series. We're talking about three different subjects. The first episode was on addiction, the second one on grieving, and the third one will be on marriage. As I alluded to, Pastor Conway and Tammy, they have a program that is aired here on Strong Tower Radio. It's When We Talk. But they also have a teaching ministry, which is called Stamina, and they go around and you can invite them to your church or organization to do a variety of seminars that they have in their repertoire. But Pastor Steve is a pastor, and you often hear him as one of the sermons that we call Fresh Manna, and that's archived up to 2 years on our website. Tammy has done multiple things besides being a great wife to Pastor Steve, but also, amen, you said that at the right time too, and also being a mother and a homemaker. But you, as you get closer to that empty nest, you aren't quite there yet, that you've done some mentoring, counseling, and coach, and you're also a grief recovery specialist. So welcome, both of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We enjoyed the first conversation. We could have talked all day, but we are moving on to grief recovery. Pastor, will you please lead us in a word of prayer?
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, thank you for life and health and a portion of strength, and thank you for these wonderful opportunities to sit down and have these type of discussions, because we believe when we talk, we grow, when we talk, we process, and when we talk, we heal. Mm-hmm. We ask that you would be with us and bless our conversation today. May someone who is listening to this experience healing. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And in that vein, God wants us to be joyful. He never intended for grief. Mm. Grief was not in the plan, but humans decided to take that route, and God says, well, if reminds me of my driver's ed teacher. I was supposed to make the first time I ever went out for driving. I was supposed to make a right, and I was so nervous, make a left, and I turned right, and he says, it was a residential subdivision. He says, you want to go play in the traffic. so I got to, during rush hour, to go. But we went and played in traffic, and we got the results of it. But God loves us, and he wants us to be healthy and good and to be prosper. But Tammy, this is kind of your specialty. I'm sure pastors had had some classes in the seminary, but also just life, grief happens. Mm. And so Tammy, what is grief? This isn't our first go around, because we did a program with you at camp meeting, and that is in our archives if you want to go back and look at it. Tammy, what is grief?
Grief is a subject that we really don't talk a whole lot about, right?
It's a private suffering?
It can often be a private suffering. There can be a lot centered around it. It can be cultural, right? There can be shame. And there can just be, I don't even know how to raise my hand and say I'm grieving. And believe it or not, there are some people who don't know that they're grieving. And so to answer this question, what is grief? Grief is really the conflicting and confusing feelings caused by the end of, the change in a familiar pattern of some sort, and of things of what I'm used to or behavior.
Absolutely.
All of those can produce grief.
And you may not have enjoyed that behavior, or you might have enjoyed the behavior. Mm-hmm. We did a program with male caregivers with spouses with addictions.
Yes.
A lot came out of that. Yeah. And my dad just passed away in December. Mm-hmm. And literally, after a while, it becomes your life. I wasn't he was in assisted living, but the fact that I went there every day, it was part of my life. And the absence or removal, that's part of that definition. Yeah. This was who you were. Eventually becomes your identity as a caretaker.
It's powerful you said that. We literally had a conversation. My husband can probably share a little bit about the identity conversation in grief.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I think that we probably need to adjust how we look at the identity piece, and because what we think is, okay, I'm doing this and I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, mm-hmm. you know. No disrespect to previous generations, with all due respect to previous generations, you know, my grandfather, my dad, get a job, mm-hmm. make sure to have good benefits, mm-hmm. you know, and a good retirement package.
Yeah.
And you work that job and, you know, you retire, and that's a good life. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a family and you enjoy your family and all of those things. And so you have us growing up, and we either go to school, or we get some training, or we just start work, and we get into this path. And what we don't realize is that, at least from a biblical Christian perspective, there are seasons in our lives. Mm. And what I mean when I say that is that, as the Bible says, the wise man said, there is a time for everything. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there is a time for me to, you know, apply this particular trade, whatever it is. And often the grief comes about because that change,
yeah.
or that loss in the normalcy or the pattern of life. And it's, but because I'm so wrapped up in what I'm doing at any one particular point in time in my life, it causes the grieving process to be longer and perhaps deeper than it should be. As you mentioned, this happens even when we graduate.
Yeah.
We graduate, and I'm used to being in high school or in college.
A certain structure.
Or in a graduate program, whatever the case may be. I'm used to these things. And now it's like, there's nothing else to study. What am I going to do with myself? And it's like, well, the study was preparing you for this next season in your life. Mm-hmm. Or people get married. And, you know, a mother who went to school and now has a child, and it's like, well, I love my child, and I don't want to let my child be in someone else's care. I want to take care of them, but I spent all this money, and I've prepared, and I was working, and I was doing this, and now I have to shift. And so the grieving process becomes a lot deeper and a lot longer when we don't understand that there are seasons in life, and change is actually, it's something that is normal, mm-hmm. and it's natural. Something that's natural.
It's kind of interesting. I think of my in-laws and my mother-in-law particularly. She looked ahead. They went into a retirement thing, and we weren't ready for them to go into retirement. I mean, so anyway, we better let the expert Tammy speak. So tell us about change.
Change is, you know, I'm laughing because I say change is diabolical, right? There are different stages of our lives. We're longing for change, you know, but there are some spaces in life. And I love this quote. It's by a woman by the name of Mandy Hale. And it says that change is painful, but nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong.
Okay.
Right. And oftentimes I had a very powerful conversation with my father-in-law recently. He's looking to retire soon. And, you know, we were in the middle aisle of Walmart, and he stops and he says, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, Dad, what do you mean? And he says, you know, part of me doesn't want to let it go, you know? And my mind went also in the same conversation not too long ago with someone else is, I want you to kind of flow with me here, right? Though Saul, King Saul was a shady character, you know, at some point towards the end, he was actually grieving God bringing someone else into a position such as David. It was time for him to let go. And his grief was so bad that it caused him to seek out, you know, our last segment about addiction. A lot of addiction is rooted in grief.
Oh, okay. Wow, those tie together.
Yeah, a lot of addiction is rooted in grief. So he sought things and means by which to try, whether it's to a soothsayer, you know, or, you know, whatever the things may be, and music and all these different things to try to soothe the fact that God was like, it's time to let this go. Right. And so holding, sometimes grief causes us to hold on to expectations, dreams, and different things that God is saying, listen, those were for a time and for a season, but now it's time for you to let that go. So change is can be very hard.
And I love the story of Saul. Not that I love it. Right. But the story is so rich because and we talked about grieving and identity. Saul couldn't see himself being anything other than king. He couldn't envision a life beyond that. And so this is what made it difficult for him to relinquish that. And I believe he could have experienced repentance had he been willing to envision a life beyond this particular task of being king. And so if I try to make that practical, I think there are a lot of us who cannot envision a life for ourselves beyond a particular season, be it school or, you know, the work, the job that I'm engaged in. And it's like, man, I don't. And we often talk about this. It's, we call it a midlife crisis. People experience midlife crisis. And that's where we ask ourselves questions about meaning and, you know, what is the value of the life that I've lived and so forth and so on. A lot of the reasons why we get there is because we have not, and this is something we also say when talking about grief, when we have not processed the losses and the changes in our lives in a healthy way, they all, you know, they don't just magically disappear. They go somewhere. That somewhere is actually, we're pushing them down, pressing them down, so to speak. And the midlife crisis, one of the ways that we see it is an explosion of all the loss and change that I've experienced compounded over the years. And now it's popping up at this time when, guess what? I'm looking towards retirement or I'm recognizing my own mortality. At these times in our lives, it's like, wait a minute. And we are completely discombobulated and all mixed up. But grieving, identity, all of these things popping up, causing us to ask questions about meaning and fulfillment and so forth and so on.
Now, Tammy, I see on your screen that it's prompting us. She says, manic behavior. What does manic behavior have to do with grieving? I'm sad.
Yes. And I'm hoping that...
What is manic behavior?
Yes. It sounds exactly what it is, right? Manic, right? Behavior that is exasperated and just kind of like out of order. And imagine someone doing something that is unusual, right? And I love the fact that you brought up the term, because we are often scared of these words. We've kind of demonized them, the midlife crisis, right? That's something that happens to people at various different, you know, spaces as they are growing as men and women. And I don't know, maybe if you've ever heard of someone who seems as like, it seems like out of nowhere, they did something so weird or so strange. They decided, you know what, I'm packing up and I'm moving out of the country. And it's like, really? When did you decide to do that, right?
My spouse.
Or I can no longer deal with this anymore. I'm leaving my spouse, right?
I'm buying a Corvette.
that's number one.
And it could be a myriad of so many different behaviors, but manic are the things that it just seems like, man, this is so strange and out of ordinary. And we also don't associate that manic behavior is not always sadness or depression. It can be someone literally waking up one day and saying, man, you know what? I just feel like going and skydiving and jumping off of a cliff, you know? And you're like, what in the world is going on with this person? But oftentimes these are things that are masking the fact that something has shifted in a person's life, something has changed. And in order to cope with that, they jump into these manic behaviors, right? You've heard of manic depression, but it doesn't always show up in manic depression. We also know that people who are depressed don't always look depressed, don't always sound depressed, right? And so a lot of the core, or I should say the root of many of those things can be grief, because let's be honest, I know I was never educated or taught as a child, right, how to deal with my grief, or I guess I should say I was, but I watched the people around me grieve. I watched my father drink when his mother or his father passed away. I watched people get angry, right, and get frustrated or do things that were not healthy. I saw people eat, right? When people are grieving, I see them eat their sorrows away. And so again, this manic behavior, sometimes we have people in our lives and we're wondering, like, what is wrong with them? Where has there been a significant change lately? Right? Is there something, maybe not recent, but maybe over the years, that is just now showing up? And the brain is a magnificent thing. It can be, it's diabolical in the sense that God gave it to us to be able to also protect us, but also sometimes it can be
in its dysfunction.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, secondary emotions, what would those? You have primary as obvious grief. So what are secondary?
And the reason why I think this is really a good conversation to have between when we're talking about the subject of grief is because it's not just about us, but we're also working with the people in our lives, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we have these emotions that are very much more, that are easier to comprehend or easier to identify. One of them is probably anger. Right. When we see people angry, that's pretty much very visible. Oftentimes we can hear it in their voice. We can see it in their face and their demeanor. But really what's happening underneath those attitudes can be things like I'm grieving. Right. Or I'm afraid, you know, I've lost my job or I've lost my spouse or I've lost my child and I'm afraid. You know, I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to survive, right? Grief can also be synonymous with stress. You know, people can be stressed out because death is just one part. There's a life. I remember my father talking to me about when my grandmother died and how it wasn't just about her death. She left behind so much stuff, mm-hmm. unresolved stuff. And he had to dig through and figure out what would she want or what do I do with this? And it was a lot. So it was stressful. Grief can tap into some of the biological bents that we have. Addiction, right?
Okay.
If I have that and I've been trying to overcome that, I've had a loss and then it will trigger, right? Something that I've been dealing with, past experiences, what someone said or did. Have you ever been in the presence of someone and they say something or you say something and they react and you're just like, I don't understand what happened. And it's really not anything to do with you. Mm-hmm. It's just that, man, there's some stuff and that grief is like kind of settling into there. Yeah.
Yeah. I think as you were talking, I thought about another way that we are kind of hit by change and loss. And it's anticipatory. So sometimes we will have, you know, just overwhelming. Sometimes it can be overwhelming emotion, but it can also appear as numbness.
Mm. When we're not responding at all.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Or when we are anticipating a loss, I know it's coming. I see it coming. It hasn't actually happened yet, but for some reason I'm numb or I have this overwhelming sense of emotion, and those are particularly, they seem out of place because the loss hasn't happened yet. So it's like, what am I mean, you know, the thing hasn't happened, but here I am going through all of these emotions and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had my mother and my wife's mother had clear dementia, but even my dad had it to some degree, and you grieve that relationship and they're still alive right in front of you.
And I'm so thankful, Brother Tom, that you brought that up, because that isn't talked about enough. Dementia and Alzheimer's is a slowly watching of a person that you love disintegrate from your life. And it's one thing to be able to go and have the ceremony of burying their body. And because our funeral process is a closure for us culturally, right? But when you walk into a room and you say hi to a person, they don't even recognize you. You're like, oh, I've lost this person, but I have to show up every day recognizing them. That is a tremendous, heavy grief to carry. And I think that there does need to be a space, right, where people who are experiencing that care caregiving, I'll put it in that group of caregiving. Caregiving is a hard space in life for people. And I think a lot of people go through guilt as well. That guilt of,
absolutely,
you know.
You mentioned at the beginning, you talked about the confusing feelings.
Yes.
Because even though, and you talked about this, I think in the other program, but or maybe it was this one, the routine, mm-hmm. the everyday routine. There are some who are themselves the caregivers physically. So, you know, a parent or mm-hmm. a loved one is in the home and they're the caregivers. And that is physically, emotionally, mentally, it's taxing.
And what's interesting, you're also in autopilot. You don't know anything else, but this has to be done.
Yes.
I may have a life that I have on hold and there's a yes. bunch of stuff I should do, mm-hmm. but this is primary for first. And yeah. then all of a sudden that event and that's who you were, that became your personality.
Yeah.
But people, the confusing thing can be that, and why I think we're talking about guilt, mm-hmm. is that people can have a sense of relief.
Yeah.
It's like you're carrying a weight, and when you let go of the weight, the strain and the stress.
You feel good.
Right.
You feel good, and you say, I shouldn't feel good about being relieved of this.
Yes. And so that's what I appreciate, mm-hmm. because again, this is one of those spaces that you're in, and you're like, man, why am I feeling good? Like, what am I? What type of person have I become? But that as well is normal mm-hmm. and natural. And learning how to balance the sense of relief and not have or carry around guilt because of the relief. No, that was taxing. It was hard work. It meant, to your point, that you had to set aside other things in your life to be able to care for your loved one. And so mm-hmm. there, relief is, that's a part of the process.
Yeah. And it's not just an emotional relief. The body receives that, right? While we are in that space, we are, our muscles are tense, our brain and our mind, right, is in survival mode. And once, whatever that weight is, it doesn't always even just have to be the loss of a loved one. It could be I'm in a toxic job, right? But mm-hmm. I have to show up every day. I don't like it here. But once that job is over, and some people experience the literal physical breakdown of their body. And it's not that the body is betraying them. The body is saying, oh, finally, mm-hmm. right? And so I think it's important for people to give themselves space to recover from loss. Mm-hmm. That is extremely important. If you are a person who has shown up for weeks, months, and years caring for a loved one, a child, a friend, a parent, doesn't matter, right? It is important that once that process, that season is over, to allow yourself to have space to really rest mm-hmm. because it is important for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have an example here of a couple, and you have a wedding picture. Why why are we looking at this picture?
Yes, it's interesting. So that's me and my father.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it is. Me and my father on my wedding day. And I always, when I look at this picture, I'm in awe of the goodness of God, because I grieved a loss of relationship with my father for many years, because he was an addict. He was an alcoholic. And we were not able to have a relationship. But what I realized when I got older, when God brought us back together, that just because he brought us back together, I was still grieving. Mm-hmm. I was still grieving the years that I didn't have with him. And so it made it hard for us to connect. And what I had to figure out, like, what is it? And I realized, like, oh, I'm grieving the loss of time. I'm grieving the loss of security and safety that I didn't feel, the loss of protection and the loss of identity. But also he was grieving the same. You know, even though he wasn't, he had overcome.
Even though he was the one, the cause of this, he was grieving.
Yes. So even in his addiction.
The perpetrator.
Yes. The grief, unresolved grief in his own life about who he wished he could be and how he wanted to show up. And his unresolved grief often would drive him towards the addiction. But as we talked about in last episode, it is possible, right? We're getting the proper help. And first and foremost, God is able. He is a good God.
He can do amazing
things. He can do amazing things.
He can do the impossible.
Yes, yes. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, actually being a a witness to the...
You were watching this.
Yeah, the healing of the relationship between her and her father was amazing. One of the things that jumps out at me is the fact that we don't, as I stated earlier, when we're hurting, when we're grieving loss and change, those experiences, they don't just magically disappear. I love the fact that scripture actually gives a recipe. It's God himself who actually gives a recipe for how we can deal with grief. Mm-hmm. And it...
Tell us that recipe.
Yeah, no, I will share. Okay. It's not copyrighted.
Okay.
But I believe that it's patternistic, because even though God never intended that we experience grief,
he had a remedy.
He has a remedy. And if we grieve loss and change, well, imagine what God experiences. Talk about God's hopes, dreams, and expectations for the human race. Mm-hmm. And for
a lot of disappointment there.
Yes. Absolutely. In Genesis chapter 6, it grieved the Lord that he had made man, right? When he saw what mankind had become. Isaiah chapter 48 is, and you can read the chapter, but it gives us a small recipe. Number one, an articulation of what it is that you are experiencing or you have experienced. In Isaiah 48, in verses 1, 4, 5, and 8, God articulates, and this is extremely important at the time, because a lot of time we're experiencing something, but we can't name it. And it's like when you're having a conversation with your spouse and they are able to articulate or put into words what you're feeling. And it's like, that's it. That's what it is, right? So when we are experiencing grief and we are able, by the grace of God, to articulate what it is that we're experiencing, and this is it's an exercise, because oftentimes we do whatever we can to get away from what we're feeling, or we suppress it. We don't want to think about it.
But coming face to face
and actually calling out what it is that I'm, you know, when they said that I was hurt, or
acknowledgement,
you know, when I didn't have my mother or my father here, or when I didn't get to say this or that, or didn't get to hear this or that from my parents, that it hurt me. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed. Mm-hmm. I felt rejected, whatever it is. The articulation. So God himself articulates how in Isaiah 48, how his people have heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And then God expresses, and this is crazy, but God actually expresses how he feels on the other side of what his people have done to him.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 9 of Isaiah 48, he's angry. In verses 12, 14, and 18, he says, essentially, he doesn't say it, but he says, you wouldn't listen to me. God is saying, you ignored me. You ignored me. I felt ignored. He says that, you know, in verses 11 and 12 through 14, when you worship other idols, it's like I was robbed, because I'm the one who created you and provided for you. And then in verses 18 and 19, he expresses his sorrow over all that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
So God articulates exactly what has happened. Then he expresses his feelings. And then in verses 9 and 11 in Isaiah chapter 48, God actually takes an action. His action just happens to be forgiveness.
Yes.
He says, this is what you did to me. This is how it made me feel. This is what I choose to do.
Yeah.
Simple recipe.
Sounds like a template for us.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we're grieving, this is one of the most helpful things that I found in scripture.
Awesome.
Well, our time is up for this particular episode of Talking About Grieving. We've only scratched the surface, but thank you so much for talking it through. When we talk, we heal.
Amen.
I'm Tom Bajur for Strong Tower Radio Special with Steve and Tammy Conway. This is a Strong Tower Radio production.